Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
I'm so tired.
It's because you're old.
Fuck you.
It is what it is. You got a camper shell ordered for your truck yet, old man?
No, I don't. I'm not a Smedley. I cannot rock a camper shell. I don't know what it is. They make a lot of sense to me. You can lock it up. It's nice. But I just...
That's like a good pair of cargo shorts.
I can't bring... I can wear a good pair of cargo shorts, but I cannot bring myself to get a camper.
Yeah.
Said the guy who got... Yours matches perfect, don't it?
Yeah, it's color match.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is.
For the listeners of this show, I picked up a new truck today. I didn't actually pick it up. I signed all the paperwork, but should get it like Thursday or Friday.
Congrats.
It's got a couple of minor repairs that it needs done. So, and for those who follow me on social media, we went and test drove.
I don't understand why you bought the fucking truck.
We went and test drove this truck Friday or Saturday of this week. I can't remember what day it was. We went and test drove it, drove it 5 miles. We're within 1,000 yards of the dealership to bring it back at a red light, and the thing died. And I go to start it again, and smoke just, it wouldn't start, and smoke is just pouring out from underneath the hood. And it turns out that they had, this truck is almost new. It's not new, but they were going through and servicing everything, and they replaced the fuel filter in it, and they didn't get a fuel line snapped back on all the way.
I don't understand. Like, you're so stubborn in the fact that you're like, I'm buying this truck. This is what I want. I'm going to get it. It breaks down. We don't take it as an omen, a sign, nothing. Fuck that. I'm buying it. Yeah. This is my truck.
So Danielle posted on Facebook and tags me in it.
Let me ask you this. What did she think when you were like, no, we're buying it anyway? She told you were an idiot, probably.
No. She understands. Like, she gets it that, like, really wrong, or is this just a simple thing?
And does she get it, or does she play like she gets it?
No, she gets
to
it.
To make her man happy.
She gets it. No, she gets it.
I'm calling fucking bullshit on that.
And like,
straight bullshit. I'm going to ask her when she gets her.
If it would have been an actual mechanical breakdown, it would have been different. But this was literally like, there's 3 fuel lines that go to the fuel filter, and they all like snap on, and they have a little plastic clip that has to go over a shoulder, and they just didn't get the clip over the shoulder.
Well, it's because, it's because it's a Ford, and it's a bitch to work on, and it's a plastic clip instead of a metal clip. And I don't understand it. I just don't.
You want me to go to your Chevy truck and point out a whole bunch of plastic clips on it?
It still runs. No. It just, like, I couldn't sleep at night. The whole time, I'd just be thinking, this fucking thing's going to break down.
Nah.
Every time I drove it from then on, I'd be like, just waiting for it to break down. Waiting for it to break down. Like, I would never feel relaxed.
If it were a legit mechanical breakdown, it'd be totally different. But, like, this is like, didn't get the oil filter tightened all the way or whatever.
You're more stubborn than me. I'm like, nope. I take it back. I tell them what happened. Or did they tow it? Did they have to come and get it? Did you say I'm not touching this fucking piece of shit?
They came and picked us up and took us back to the dealership. I have no clue how the truck got back there. If I had my guess, because I told the dealership.
It was in Harrisonville. They hired 4 bums to push it back.
Had my guess, they sent a service tech over there, snapped it back on, fired it up, and drove it in.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But then they had to completely redetail the engine bay and then put it in an ozone room overnight so that all the diesel fuel would quit smelling.
I like the smell of diesel fuel.
Yeah.
I like the smell of gas. I'm a weirdo.
Yep. I do too.
When I go to Quintrip, I have to catch myself like...
You just huffing the gas, you creeper.
It's like a burning cigarette. I love the smell. Like, I hate the taste of cigarettes, but I love the smell of a burning cigarette. Not cigarette smoke that's been exhaled.
Said the guy who smoked cigarettes for 2 years.
Yeah.
Maybe three. I don't remember how long it was. Tried to convince me it was cool.
But fun story.
I
should try
to convince anybody it was cool. I did it because he can get breaks on the job. Because Bobby would always take smoke breaks. And I'm like, well, fuck it. True. I'm doing work while he's breaking. Yeah. I'm going to smoke.
I know I've said this on the show before. I came out of Casey's one time. Mitch just leaned against his Mustang, fueling it, lights a cigarette. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally two feet from the gas. I'm like, what are you fucking doing? He just looks at me. What?
Yeah.
You're not holding the fire stick next to the fucking gasoline?
Nah.
Ah. Oh. He's like, oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Nah.
Oh, I love it. I can't believe you bought another Ford.
Yep.
They're just junk, man.
Forge for life.
Junk.
I like your fun stories. Yeah, it just makes it entertaining because like you'll never hear a Mitch story that goes, I wanted a truck. I want to buy a truck. It's in the driveway. No, you'll never hear a Mitch story like that.
No.
Which is fun.
Everything in Mitch's life has like three extra layers on it.
It makes for good podcasting.
Yeah, that's where the...
I love it.
I don't know who invented the term, but all of my friends are like, you Mitched it.
I think some people...
like a collective effort.
I don't remember who said it, but yeah, we've been using it for 20 years.
Yeah.
I do think some people, like, they just, for whatever reason, they're a magnet for stuff, and stuff just wild, random, fun stuff just happens, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mitch has a lot of those stories that we don't tell on this show.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Yeah.
I'm not bringing them up.
Well, today.
Today.
So today I go to the dealership to sign the paperwork on the thing and get all that squared away. And I go to leave, and my tires and my Lightning, they're supposed to have 42 PSI in it. And I go to leave, and it's like I get like three blocks away from the dealership, and it's beeping at me, low tire, 16 PSI. And I'm like, what the hell? Mason, like, I just got a flat.
Mason,
right?
Mason's out there with a pen in the morning. Just
intrusive thoughts.
So
fuck this guy.
It was a nail. And like the way that it was parked at the dealership, it was parked on the nail. So it leaked while it was parked, but I drove the entire way home. So it's a 45-minute drive from here to Harrisonville.
So did you just air it back up and come home?
Well, no. I drove the entire way home on 16 PSI in that tire.
What is the matter with you? You know, there's those little air pumps at gas stations.
Yeah, I know.
You were at the dealership. If you'd have been like, hey, man, will you air up my tire? I just bought a truck. They'd be like, yeah, dude, pull over here.
Yeah. Nope. Drove it all the way home and put a plug in it.
The older you get.
I was keeping an eye on it.
The more I can't understand your rationale.
Yeah.
Like, it just amazes me.
It went down to 16, but now it's staying. So, like, obviously it only leaks when it's parked and you're sitting on the nail. Cool. So I'll just drive all the way home on 16 PSI.
The tires gets hot and then seals up the hole, usually, is what happens.
Yeah.
But I'm like you. I plug my own tires, too.
Yeah.
I still go to Feldman's, buy that old kit. Looks like they made them in 1940, and they just have a warehouse full of them.
Works great.
Fucking great.
I just go to Discount Tire.
Of course you do.
Well, you do that until your tires are below their minimum standard, which isn't even the wear bars.
No, it's not.
And then they refuse to fix it, and they make you buy new ones.
Yeah, sure. I've had pretty good luck, I feel like, going there.
That Discount Tire, I have cussed three employees out there. Yeah. I still take my car there, the car's there, and get to, but every time I'm there, those employees aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure they have a high turnover rate.
Yeah.
Like literally one time I take my truck in there and I'm like, hey man, I plugged this hole. I don't want to mess with this anymore. Can you just pull it off and patch it? And he's like, yeah, sure. So they pull the wheel off. Okay. Yeah. And all air it up and they're out there swabbing, you know, whatever. I'm in the waiting room. You know, you can see in, right? Mm-hmm. I'm looking, he walks away. He comes back. He looks nothing. Comes
Your
back.
Plug's holding and he's not going to fix it.
No, he was swabbing the wrong plug.
Oh,
I was there 40 minutes. I went into the manager, into the other room, like the main lobby. And I was like, hey, man,
in the fucking dunk tank.
I was like, so I go out there and I look in there and I go, you see where he swabbed that? He goes, yeah, he's out there. I said, that's not the fucking hole. So we go out there and he's like, well, where's the hole? And I said, where your other guy circled it with this big black fucking marker right here. And the guy's, so I'm there 45 minutes. And he's like, well, we can't fix that. I waiting for 45 fucking minutes while you swab the wrong hole? What are we doing here?
They also have a rule where they'll only fix it if it's like the center third of the tire.
Yeah, I've plugged sidewalls. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, a lot of places, if it's on the outer tread, they won't do it. They consider the outer tread part of the sidewall.
Yeah.
And Discount Tire is like center third.
Yeah. Is that, you know, it could blow and then people could die. And this, and I'm like, the whole time I'm thinking, you know, in the 30s, guys had to change tires every week because they were blowing out.
Yeah.
Like what? And the safety feature on those cars were if the wheel fell off and you hit the guardrail, it exploded and everyone died.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's a litigious society, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Like, just fix the damn tire, man.
Well, they probably have a lot of overhead to cover from just the amount of labor. paper and stuff they use for like free tire air ups, free this, free that.
Well, it's all just gimmicks to get you in the store.
It fucking drives me insane, man.
So
I don't, what did we even start talking about?
Friday night, last Friday night. What'd you do?
What did I do last Friday? Oh, I went hunting.
Okay.
And then I got in.
What'd you do after dark?
And then I turned on the Tyson Paul fight at 7.
Yeah.
And realized it was a 3-match card and they wouldn't be playing until 10:30. Switched over to a movie, went to bed at 9.
Yeah.
I knew, I was like, dude, there's no way it's going to be good. And I've been up since fucking 5.
Right.
I was like, there's no way. And then I wake up and I see all this stuff about Netflix isn't working, not this, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, man, thank God I didn't waste fucking six hours of my life watching that shit show. I wanted to watch it too, though.
It got bogged down pretty good. I wouldn't have paid for the fight, but since it was on Netflix.
Yeah, it was free.
It was free.
It was supposed to originally be pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But then
I think it was pay-per-view. Like, there were people paying for it. I don't know if it's because they don't have Netflix or they just didn't know or what.
Well, you know, do you remember when Amazon Prime had their first football game on? It was the same way.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't understand the amount of lag that there was going to be. And they learned. Now they have no issues.
Right.
Like, what I don't understand is, how do you not learn from all of the other issues they've had, like Amazon Prime had, just like I said, with, like, how do you not know that all of these people could potentially be watching this fight?
Some engineer messed up a decimal point somewhere and underestimated the
Some engineer with a fake piece of paper that he paid for and was like, no, I'm a fucking engineer. I'm a badass.
Yeah.
It's called common
Probably
sense.
Probably doesn't have a job anymore.
It's call bullshit. They can't find anyone to work. He's still there.
Well, I do know, like,
he may took a pay cut.
I do know on the Daily Wire before the election night, they had 2 weeks prior to election night, they were doing election night tests.
Mm-hmm.
So they were basically pressuring the server.
Yeah, to see if it
hold
up.
They call it. And so I'm like, that's the way to do it. You know?
Yeah, you've got to be, I like, learn.
Like Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. I mean, like, literally, it's like,
I just, getting back to the fight, I did want Tyson to knock that fucker out so bad.
So,
but then, like, after the fight and all that, like, reading everything and all that and blah, 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 like, he is, was he 58 or 59?
58.
Yeah.
It was either 55 or 58. Like,
that's old, man.
Yeah. Well,
that's,
you see all the clips of him training.
Yeah. He looked good.
He did not look anything like he did in training. Right.
Mm.
And no, keep in mind,
you think he was faking it?
Yeah, it's. I know for a fact he was.
Scripted.
I love it. I love you. I know for a fact.
Yeah. So I do have, like, I don't want to act like I have inside information or anything else, but I've seen the Pauls speak, Jake and Logan.
They're idiots.
No, they are not.
They're idiots.
Brilliantly smart.
No, they're dumb.
They're
dumb.
They're
just placating to their strengths, which is being dumb.
They play dumb. Because that's what society can handle.
They're dumb.
Logan might be smarter than Jake, believe it or not. But I watched them give a talk about developing a following. And then once you have a following, you can do anything. And, like, obviously it's Jake Paul's following combined with Mike Tyson's fans that brought that fight around, right?
Well, his fame.
But
I would say his fame.
But you look at what Jake Paul did. Largest gate ever for a boxing match. Jake Paul's not he may be by definition a professional boxer, but, like, he doesn't have a career in boxing, right? It was a total prize fight.
No, it wasn't a prize fight. It was a exhibition fight.
What? Right. But, like, they were doing it not to win. They were doing it for the money.
Yeah.
And you can see quite a few clips where Tyson pulls back in round two. Tyson came out on fire round one and round two. And there's one very specific punch where he had an opportunity to fucking knock Jake Paul out. And he actually, like, pulls back and then, like, lets his glove bounce off his shoulder. And
really?
Yeah.
What a bunch of bullshit.
And what it is because he had to go to round six to get the full pay.
I would think you'd get a bonus if you knock him out earlier.
No. Again, all the rules were set between Tyson and Jake Paul, right?
Bullshit.
So here's what actually happened.
Bullshit.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Tyson wanted to retire and he needed money to retire. Jake
Which
Paul
is insane because he's rich as fuck.
I know. But
God.
Needing money to retire is not necessarily like in need of money. It's I need money to retire at the level I want to retire at, right?
Okay. So, you can't use the word need then.
Well.
Want.
There you go.
Want elective. Would be the correct word.
So, Tyson and Jake Paul are friends. And so Jake Paul's like, I got you.
Yeah.
Right? And so they're both showmen, both of them. Tyson has a biting fetish, which is kind of weird. Did you see him biting his glove the whole match? So when Tyson's aggression flares up,
I wasn't going to say anything.
when Tyson's aggression flares up, he has this insatiable need to bite, which is why Holyfield lost his ears, right?
Okay.
No, I'm dead serious. Tyson, okay. He's given interviews. He's talked about it. And so they asked him, why were you biting your glove so much? He's like, it's that or something else. So he
first off, he should have tore his ear off and knocked him out.
Yeah. That's what Danielle, my wife, posted. Dude, was like, if Tyson doesn't bite off Jake Paul's ear, I want a refund on my Netflix subscription.
I will tell you right now, if he would have bit his ear off and knocked him out, it would have go down as the greatest fight in the history of mankind.
Right.
For entertainment.
Like for me,
it just was.
For me, the entertaining part wasn't the fight. It was the interview he gave to that 12-year-old student. Did you see that?
No.
This like 12-year-old student comes up to Mike Tyson and she's like, well, what do you want people to remember about you? What about your legacy? And he's like, legacy is a stupid word. You're just going to die. No one gives a shit about you once you're dead. Huh? That's legacy. And the 12-year-old goes, wow, I never heard an answer like that. That's an interesting perspective. And literally, just like, you should That's go funny. Look it up. That's the funniest thing. That, like, more entertaining than the fight. But he just goes on. Just,
yeah.
I shared that meme of anybody else with Netflix sleeping up.
Yeah.
that thing got shared like 260 times.
Dude, whoever did it the first time, I bet I saw it shared on my feed 6 times.
Yeah. It was quite a bit.
From different people. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a publicity stunt for money is all it was. But also too, like Jake Paul is a nobody in the boxing area.
First off, I shouldn't comment because I don't know. I didn't know who he was before and I still don't know who he is.
So Jake Paul is a Disney product. He's a product of Disney, kind of like Britney Spears. Christina Aguilera.
Britney Spears was on Mickey Mouse Club with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I know
so,
about that.
So Jake Paul had a similar path to...
Was he singing?
I don't know what he was doing. But then he did a lot on YouTube. And he's got an insanely large following on YouTube from people that are now 15 to 25. And so...
What was he doing on YouTube?
Just silly... Like the old school silly stuff where they would challenge each other and cause ruckus and just be hooligans.
Can we go back and do that?
Not now. That stuff doesn't play well now on YouTube.
Yet the genre shifts on YouTube.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
But so he has this insane, like, millions and millions of followers, right? And so like Logan was giving a talk and he was talking about like when you have that big of a following and they're almost like a cultish following.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, when you have that big of a following, you can sell them anything. And I got to hear this talk.
Well, you only have to sell them. You only have to sell 10% of your following something that makes you $1 when your following's that big.
Right, right. Well, I got to hear this talk about 8 months after Prime energy drinks were released. And so Logan Paul was like, 8 months ago, we released Prime energy drinks. And obviously we pitched it to our following. It's the fastest growing energy drink company ever.
Yeah. And they suck.
They did $1 billion in sales in their first year.
Yeah. And they're awful.
Right. But it just goes to show you that it's about their following.
Yeah.
Right. And it also goes to show you like Logan Paul was like, I could literally come out with any product whatsoever. And as long as it's a product for that 15 to 25 year old era, I could sell them anything.
Yeah.
Sunglasses, clothes. I could come out with a shoe line. Yeah. We did the energy drink thing. He was like, in 15 years, I could run for president and probably win simply because I have such a raving fan base. Now, he's not saying that to be cocky, and I don't think he's actually planning on running for president. What I'm saying is that's how far ahead they've been building their following for years.
Yeah.
So that they can get rich off their following for the rest of their life.
Well,
and that's why Jake Paul does the fighting thing and everything else. But like, here's the cool part about it. Tyson, his kids have never seen him in a ring. So
how do you, let me ask you this. I don't know where you're going with this. How, as you're a fighter, you are known as the most badass heavyweight of all time, mm-hmm. or at least in the top four, mm-hmm. you know, Holyfield, Muhammad Ali,
yeah.
Tyson, maybe Jones Jr. Like, you know, you're in the top five of all time.
Yeah.
Baddest motherfuckers to ever step in the ring. How do you step in the ring with your kids watching and fucking lay an egg?
Well, like what Mitch said, it's like he goes into everyone knowing it's not a real fight.
That's my point. My point is, did he pull them aside and go, okay, daddy's going to fake it and not kill this white guy?
Probably.
To make money so that we can be rich.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I could do it. Like, I don't know if I have that kind of mental fortitude to be like, no.
That's the difference, though. Like, take Conor McGregor, for example. Do you think Conor McGregor fights to win, or do you think he fights for the money?
I think when he fought, what was the guy's name?
Russian guy?
No, Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
He actually did a boxing match with him. I think he fought that to win and didn't win.
Right.
But I think he wasn't
his specialty.
That was a payday. We know that was a payday because he was fighting out of his realm.
Right.
To prove a point. That was a payday, but he still gave it his all, I think.
Well, and both Jake Paul and Tyson are fighting out of their realm, right? Like, you see all the jokes now.
Is Jake Paul really fighting out of his realm? He's fighting a 58-year-old man.
I don't know. He challenged Colonel Sanders to a cook-off of chicken.
I'd like to see you fight Jake Paul.
I'm just saying, like...
No, like, I know. He's a dumbass.
The moment Jake Paul calls out a 58-year-old washed-up boxer, and I say washed up with respect. Like, he was phenomenal, but he's nowhere near what he used to be.
Like 20 years after... Yeah.
Not washed up, washed out.
Washed out,
yeah.
Right? The moment that happens, like, you know it's a publicity stunt. And anybody who thought it was actually going to be a real fight is
I still wanted
naive.
To see him get knocked out.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to see that, but like they sold out. Like, Jake Paul has more wins in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium than the Dallas Cowboys do this year.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys suck.
Yeah, they do. But like,
I don't understand. Like, let me ask you this. All of that being said, do you think that they'll fight again?
No.
And maybe Mike Tyson gets the same payday, but he's like, hey, look, dude.
No.
I let you have that one, and we both made money. This time I'm going to fucking knock you out.
Did you see all the rules changes going into it?
Yeah. Did you see all the last minute rules changes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That's ridiculous.
Well, the rules were set to where nobody gets hurt, right?
I miss.
Now, as
that, you know, we talk about boxing. We haven't talked about it. A lot of sportscasters talk about boxing dying and, you know, all this and UFC and there's this and that. This is why, because you can't get any good fights on. And when the good fights are on, they suck.
Well, I think actually.
Because they're for paydays.
Whether I agree with it or not, I think Jake Paul's activity in the boxing area is revitalizing the sport. I think it's getting a lot of 15 to 25-year-olds interested in boxing. Right?
I don't know because I don't follow a lot of boxing, but like when Canelo gets in the ring now, it's a huge fight.
Yeah.
So like people that are diehards are still watching big matches. The problem is big matches aren't there anymore.
Right.
Right. So, I mean,
the two chicks that fought before them,
dude, I watched
hell of a match.
I rewatched it.
That girl got robbed too. I can't remember her name, but
yeah,
she landed
yeah
way more punches and everything. She got robbed.
Yeah.
But so we had that going on. Right. And of course, Netflix, like even with all of Netflix's faux pas, because the fight wasn't stellar.
You actually watched it. Was it super glitchy?
So
we were
over at the neighbor's house and it was super glitchy. And then I came home. The fight was still going on and it was super glitchy at our house, but Grant had it on his cell phone on Netflix on his cell phone.
Oh, okay.
And it's playing perfectly fine. And I'm like, hey, Grant, can you move over and hold your phone out and I'll watch it on there? Oh,
because he was coming off the tower, maybe?
I don't know.
Did he have his Wi-Fi off?
I don't know. Cell signal. But he was like, I kind of don't want to move. And so I like curled up next to him on the couch and put my head on his shoulder so that
I love your son. I don't want to move.
I kind of don't want to move. Well, he was afraid that he would lose it.
Oh, okay.
Because everything else was so glitchy. He was like,
I thought you meant just because he was lazy.
No. It's playing as I'm sitting right here. I don't want to move.
Dad,
and I'm like, cool.
Get your own fucking phone.
Yeah. I watched over the back of the couch for a second, then I just laid my head on his shoulder and watched the rest.
Like,
watch
it. It's for the same reason, like you talked about. Everyone knows it's a game. It's for the same reason that, like, we'll do videos with Mitch and, like, you know, maybe we'll act like comically or out of character. And it's like, we're doing it for, like, the views. It's just like, because someone could say, oh, like, why are you acting out of character? That's going to ruin your reputation and this and that, you know?
Well, and that's for entertainment. And I know that the Jake Paul Tyson fight was for entertainment and for money, right? But, like, the most entertaining part is that someone's going to get knocked out.
You would think.
In my world.
Yeah.
But I said, speaking of you guys, I saw your F Mary kill. It was good because there's no way. I did have a thought, but it was like there was no way out of that one.
No.
Like there's no way out of that
one. You were effing somebody you did not want to F.
No, yeah.
And you were marrying somebody you did not want to marry.
Yeah, it was.
And Rosie O'Donnell is dead. Universal, like unanimous decision, Rosie's got to die.
What were they again?
Rosie O'Donnell, the blonde girl from Identity Theft. Really obnoxious blonde heavy
McCarthy.
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy.
And
Lizzo.
Lizzo.
Lizzo was the other one.
Yeah, you had to choose. You got to bang one, marry one, and kill one.
Yeah, it was your guys' answers were pretty good.
I think I picked marry Melissa McCarthy, bang Lizzo, and kill Rosie O'Donnell.
I had a whole other thought. Mine was what was it? Let me think.
You got to kill Rosie.
No, I'm marrying Rosie.
What?
I'm going to make her whole life a living hell.
Oh, you're going to turn the tables on her?
She's a lesbian. I'm a straight white man. I'm like the epitome of what everything she's against. I literally marry her and make her life a living hell from on. I definitely kill Lizzo, and I bang Melissa McCarthy. That's what I do.
The commentary during the banging of Melissa McCarthy would be a little too much. I'd probably go soft.
No, I like the chitter. I like the chitter chatter. Tell me jokes. Yes, I love it. Yes, tell me another joke. Yeah, I mean, like that's what I do.
Yeah. We do need to have a podcast where I pull up the comments we've gotten on the Void YouTube channel.
Oh, we should.
Because it's a thick field out there.
Yeah.
So, okay, here's the most
outrageous. It's a thick field out there.
Mike Tyson coming out. So basically someone commented today, the story was about people who like their owners who are present and there and they want to work also. And someone's like, man, you don't see the CEO of McDonald's coming in for 8 hours a day spending time with people. And I'm just like, dude. Like Dave comes out. So basically someone in a managerial or leadership role, that's what you're trying to say. Like, we're not expecting the CEO of Apple to come
to your
house.
The listeners to this show have a worldwide real estate business that also sells hamburgers, then we'll talk on that level.
But I just the insanity that is the internet is just like, I always thought, like, it could never get more crazy than it did 10 years ago. It's times 50.
Yeah, it's just going to keep getting worse.
I will say the same thing that I said 10 years ago. I don't see how.
Oh,
and it's somehow going to get worse.
Yep.
I know. I keep thinking I want to buy a ranch somewhere and just move there and live in my hut. But it's like, do I want to miss the chaos? No, I don't. I want to see what freaking happens.
So we got one more little...
We've been babbling for 28 minutes.
Well, we're not babbling. Believe it or not, we're actually talking about what will be our topic.
We've been on topic.
The next...
I don't know what the topic is.
That's just your saying you pull out of your pocket in time. You don't want to say. We're off topic, guys.
Yeah. I told Mitch this at the beginning of the show that my brain was mush.
Yeah.
We'd see what we get.
Yeah, it is 5:30. We're used to hitting these out. We are used to hitting these out in the afternoon, so...
Yeah.
So... you know, Trump is starting to build his team,
whoop, whoop.
Right? And he's got RFK Jr.
Oh my God.
Pioneering, making our food a little bit better and a little bit safer. Right.
Have you seen the meltdown?
Oh yeah.
From them from him putting him on top of what's his actual title?
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Dude, my favorite nominee is Pete Hegseth.
Austin, look up what his official title is going to be. What's RFK's official title?
RFK, so he's something about health and human services.
But anyways, yeah. He's HHS. He's the administrator over that, right? And like literally this guy was super hardcore on the left, wanted the nomination. They tell him he can't have it. He gets crushed, and they have literally just taken one of their own and fed him to the wolves.
Yeah,
and now literally he wants to make America healthier. He wants to pull fluoride out of the water, which people have been saying for 20 years. Yeah. Like wants to pull all the hormones and sugar and everything out, and like make us healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, he's an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah,
because he questioned that a vaccine. It's such an oxymoron because Trump like pushed the vaccine through and they were like, no, it didn't get tested. And now one of their own is like, hey, it didn't get tested. I don't know if that's right. They're like, no, you're an anti. It's like, what?
They're just taking the other side no matter what it is.
That's my point.
Yeah.
They literally will just argue and crucify whoever comes up there.
Yep.
That's opposite of them.
Yep.
And then crush everyone for being quote unquote divisive or hypocritical.
Yep.
Like, oh, you don't agree with me. I can't talk to you anymore because you're full of hate and rage.
Right.
So are you not being hateful and
vengeful for cutting everyone off?
Like, what are you talking about?
It's all theater. And they try to use mainstream media to speak anything they want into existence.
It's insane.
It is.
Right? It's literally insane.
So Trump, obviously, the U.S. government is wildly inefficient and way overspends. And as we have talked about before on the show, a thing with government contracts is you get a budget. And if you come in way under budget next year, the MO for the government is, well, next year you don't need near as much money. Right. You would think a normal, productive American would be like, you gave me a budget of $1 million and I got it done with $500,000. Just imagine what will happen if you give me a budget of $2 million. Like, imagine how much I can get done with that kind of budget, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't work that way in the government. The government says, oh, well, next year, if you only needed $500,000, next year you're only getting $500,000.
Yeah. Well, and even if they were like, okay, yeah, we're only giving you $500,000, that organization is like, okay, I did it with $500,000. You're right. Take that money and give it to someone else.
Right, right, right.
They don't do that either.
No. And so Trump is like, we need a outside agency to make the government more efficient,
more accountable.
Yeah. And so, who better to turn to than the guy who put rockets into space faster and more efficiently than the government? Who better to turn to than the guy who created online digital spending that wasn't even in existence before.
Yeah. And right? Now everyone's like, oh, that's the only way you can do it.
Who better to turn to than the guy who hated how expensive tunnel boring was? So he started his own tunneling business and it's now wildly profitable and gets tunnels done for half the price.
Yeah.
Right.
And twice as fast.
And who better to turn to than the guy who created an automobile industry that has a market cap larger than all other automobile industries combined? Right?
Yeah.
So pretty smart choice to turn to that guy. That guy happens to be Elon Musk, right? And he says, hey, would you mind if I worked with you to make the government more efficient? It's obvious you've done it with tunnels. You've done it with digital spending. You've done it with cars. You've done it with rockets.
Yeah. Let's be efficient.
Like, can you do this with the government? And Elon Musk says, I will if I can call it what I want. And Trump's like, well, within reason, what do you have in mind? And he goes, how about the Department of Government Efficiency? And Trump's like, perfect. Well, what's the acronym for the Department of Government Efficiency?
DOGE.
DOGE.
D-O-G-E.
Right.
Not D-O-D-E.
Right.
Doge.
Yeah, not Doge. Doge. So
inside joke.
So yeah, the, you know, what's so wild is like all of the far left used to love Elon because he was an environmentalist and he's going to save the planet.
He was
going to
save the planet. And now they're just crushing
him. And the moment he shows any kind of liking to Trump, they now crucify him. And
yeah,
he's a rich person. Like Elon Musk is so rich. That's why your taxes are high, right?
No,
their taxes are high because our government can't spend money efficiently. Yeah. Elon's actually going to fix that.
Yeah. So, yeah. How about we be on the side of just being right.
Right.
And being correct.
Right.
And being diligent and accurate.
So it'll be really interesting to see what happens with that. But these two topics that we've talked about, the Jake Paul Tyson fight and now the Doge thing, they actually are in support of our main show topic today. And that is...
We have one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that is, no matter what you are doing, when you are doing it, how or why or who you're doing it with, always do your best. Austin just graduated first grade, and now he's laughing at...
Okay, so for context, I was about to start writing the title. It's like, never, for any reason, no matter who you're with, I'm just like... Like around as a title.
Austin is so eager to get these. Austin will ask us what the show title is an hour before the show.
Yeah.
It's called doing my job.
We don't know what the title is. Like, let's have the show and then we'll come up with a title. So what's the title?
Yeah.
So what did you say
the title was? That's usually what he said.
Historically,
so
we just had the title. Then recently, a couple weeks ago, I was like, no, we don't know what it is. I'm like, well, we've always known what the title is.
His perspective's a little off. Like a couple weeks ago, I think he means 6 months ago.
Yeah. So
I'm biased towards my goals.
Yeah.
I'm the one typing it in.
Yeah, that's true.
I will point out another ironic thing about Austin. So like three weeks ago, we tend to podcast at like 1:30 or 2 in the afternoon.
He's got me out here at 5:30 tonight because I don't know what the hell he had going on today.
Yeah, we used to do these at 5 or 5:30 at night and we moved it to 1 to 1:30 in the afternoon. And Austin was asking, like, is this the official new time for the podcast? And I'm like, well, we do them in the afternoons if we have time, but if we get busy, then we just do it at 5. It just depends on what the workday's like. And he's like, so is this the new time? And I'm like, it's a week by week thing. And he goes, got it. So when's the new time? And I'm like, it changes. And he goes, oh, okay. And he was like, I was just hoping we could have like a fixed time.
Yeah,
and
we always have.
Literally 2 shows later. We do the last one in the afternoon and this one, he sends us all a text saying, can we podcast at 5:30? And I'm like,
that is irony.
And I'm like, do you see why we need to maintain flexibility? Cause sometimes we got shit to do.
I will say this. What I'm saying is like, I'm more comfortable if I have like a default time. Like it's okay. So it changes.
Yeah.
You guys want to know what's a default time.
I do.
Afternoon to evening.
Is
the default time.
First off, I do like that Austin wanted to know to set up his schedule.
I'm very
structurable.
I like schedule and I like being schedule oriented. That's how I am.
Yeah.
I hate when shit changes.
Yeah.
Just know this, if you know Mitch, he thinks the world revolves around him and his time schedule. Yeah. So we all have to be flexible.
Yeah.
So that Mitch can get his way.
Bullshit.
Well, no, my thing is like, we just need to have like a base time. So then like, I know if I need to ask like earlier before, cause it used to be 5:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
like, I like the daytimes.
Yeah. The base time is like 1 to 2, but it's flexible. Yeah.
I just like having it. Cause I'm like a calendar snob when it comes to like, I like to know, I hate getting somewhere and someone's like, well, maybe we'll start in the next hour or so. I'm like,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you're not paid hourly, you really don't like that shit.
Because I'm like, I just love being efficient with my time. Especially like you said, be on salary. I'm like, dude, are we going to wrap this up?
Yeah.
Like,
let's get after it.
Right.
You owe that to yourself.
Yeah.
No judgment. It's all Mitch's fault.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
You're wearing this.
Well, right. I'm not blaming Mitch. I'm just blaming that's just life in general. I'm like,
Yeah.
So
do you want to?
Yeah, we got to come back to the topic.
Austin, he had to vent a little bit. Yeah.
Both of these topics have to do with like, no matter what you're doing, who you're doing it with, where, when, why, or how, like you're always going to do your best. Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's literally anything. If you're sweeping the shop, sweep the shop to the best of your ability. If you're cooking a meal, cook the meal to the best of your ability. Right. If you're reading a bedtime book to your kids, read it to the best of your ability. right? Your kid's going to have a lot more fun if you're a little animated and you have a little emphasis and a little, fluctuation on your voice and everything else.
Inflection, but nice try.
Inflection.
Emotionally available for your family afterward.
Maybe my brain is not as mush as I thought it was.
No, you're on point. You're on point. You guys are both on point. Everyone's on point.
So like Jake Paul and Tyson, although a lot of people didn't know what the best of their ability, like a lot of people thought the best of their ability was their fighting ability. It wasn't. The best of their ability in regards to that fight was their ability to sell out the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, their ability to get the biggest ticket like take on a boxing match ever in history, their ability to give Mike Tyson one last time in the ring to finish his career on his terms and make a hell of a payday and let his kids see him in the ring, and Jake Paul to further his career and whatever he's doing.
Yeah,
right.
At the sacrifice of everyone that paid to be there to watch a bullshit fight.
I mean, hey, you chose to pay to be there. And like,
but that's my point. That's my point. People didn't know that.
Oh, they sure did.
No. Dude, do you think that everyone that bought a ticket to go to AT&T Stadium and watch that fight knew that it was going to be an exhibition?
You're not there to watch the fight. You're there to say you were there. You're like,
I'm not. I don't go to anything to say I'm there.
Well, you wouldn't have gone to that fight.
Man, if it was close, maybe.
Yeah. So,
I mean... Have you ever been to a boxing match?
Huh.
I've been to some amateur ones. They're extremely entertaining.
Yeah. No, I have a...
Being there is awesome.
Yeah.
The fights are great.
I have a massive respect for boxing and MMA. Like, the amount of grit and fortitude that those guys have is just insane. I've always been fascinated with it. It's just... It's just like, I think people know now, I don't want to say the fight's rigged, because it's not that it was like rigged.
It was rigged.
Well,
it was rigged for it to not.
I'll say
for one of them to not get hurt.
I'll say loosely scripted with enough rules and enough incentives for it to go a certain direction that they could largely anticipate where it was going to go.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's rigged.
I'm glad. I will say this. I'm glad I didn't waste my time watching it.
Yeah.
Because if I'd watched it, if I had paid, so the Mayweather McGregor fight was $99 on pay per view.
Mm-hmm.
If I had paid $99 to watch that, I'd have been pissed.
Yep.
I'd have been pissed. I would have felt like I got ripped off.
I've never paid for a fight. And the reason why, I'm not going to pay $99 for something that could literally end 3 seconds after it starts. Austin.
I'm with Austin. I'm with Austin. That's gold.
I got stamina longer than 3 seconds. Come on. Oh, wait, we're paying to watch. All right.
It's amazing how much.
Geez.
It's amazing how much more Austin is out of his show when his wife isn't here.
No, it's not that.
Does she listen to the show, Austin?
No, she don't hear what we have to say.
She's going to hear you snickering mind.
It's not that. It's just like when it's later at night, like my filter.
You're a little
just,
slap happy.
No, I was waiting.
Maybe he's just high.
I started laughing because I thought you were going to start laughing because I'm like, literally, he set himself up for like the worst.
I have definitely been knocking him down, and Mitch has been setting him up for the last few weeks, but I was letting that one go.
Yeah.
I was letting him have that one.
So like,
it's been too easy.
On the subject of literally doing your best every opportunity you can. Like, we all know what it feels
this
like.
This is an oxymoron. You realize that, right?
We all know what it feels like to not do your best, right? Like even if you win, but you didn't do your best, the win doesn't feel right. Like here we are, like almost a year later, that big ass deer that I've shot last year.
Oh, hey, where's your mount? I didn't ask you this week. Okay, I didn't ask you this week. I forgot.
He met November 25.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mid-November.
Yeah, November 50th.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But no, that big deer there, like, I mean, it's cool, but I don't feel I earned it.
It wasn't like you were out there for 6 days.
It wasn't like
cold.
I was out there and stalked it and had trail cam footage and put a plan together and the plan worked and everything. No, I literally looked out my back fucking window, saw it. I was in my gym outfit, like gray sweats and a gray sweatshirt. put on my bow that, like, strapped up my release and grabbed my bow that I haven't shot in 2 years. It's not, I didn't even practice or prepare.
Dust off that bitch.
Yeah, dust the thing off.
Just wrecked his foot.
It literally had arrows in the quiver from the last time I went elk hunting that were bloody.
That's awesome.
And so, like, I found an arrow that I'm like, this one should work. And I cleaned a little bit of the, like, meat and flesh off the broadhead. And I'm like, this will work. And I draw back and boom, you know?
Yeah.
And well, it's like... All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
To play advocate here, like, I, for all of the times that you've gone and sacrificed and not got anything, like, I think that you did earn that. Wait, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like the thing of, like, I'd rather be lucky than good any, like, day.
Well, if you'd never shot one and never had been out and then were complaining that I've never shot one and I haven't got a good one and you, it's like the guy that goes out twice a year and he's like, man, I just can't ever kill a big one. Well, you've been out twice a year, you douche.
Yeah, you spent a total of 10 hours in the stand.
But you literally spent years hunting public land like an idiot.
Yeah,
like, looking back, when, like, all the time, I've done it too. Yeah. And you're like, man, what was I even thinking?
Yeah.
Like, you earned it.
Yeah.
You just earned it in a different way.
Well, it's just different.
Yeah, but you, like, earned it in a different way. You bought the house.
No, I know.
You paid the money.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know.
I mean, that's part of why we bought the house here, was for that opportunity.
Yeah, and you didn't shoot the one today, you saw. I still don't understand. Well, that's another topic for another day, but whatever.
Yeah. But, like... like, literally everything. Even...
I'm hunting tomorrow morning out in your backyard, if you didn't notice.
But like, even when I'm dealing with an upset customer over the phone, the goal is to handle that interaction to the best of my abilities, right?
Yeah.
It's not to dominate that customer. It's not to own them. It's not to... like, it's literally like, let's examine the situation. Let's handle it to the best of our abilities. And if that means I need to clap back at the customer, then that's what that means.
Ooh, clap back.
If that means that I need to swallow my pride and say we fucked up and I give money back to the customer, or I've got to go back and do more work or something, then that's what that means.
Yeah.
But, like, taking pride in literally doing the best you can at everything. And I mean, for me, that's, like, just my MO. Like, literally everything I do, I'm going to do the best at it.
Yeah.
So much so that it'll cause some anxiety from time to time.
Oh, dude, I feel you 100%.
Right.
I just, right now I'm planning the event for the end of February, right? First of March. No one cares where that event is.
No.
As far as what hotel I pick or, you know, whatever.
But you're putting pressure on yourself to find a good one.
Because I want it to be great.
Right.
I want it to be classy. I want the guys to feel like, guys and gals, to feel like they've put time into this.
Right.
Like, he searched and found a great place, and there's a great bar for in the evening when they want to go down. The meal that they're going to have at the end of the night on Saturday is going to be great. We're going to go to this great place. Almost no one cares.
Right.
But it's up to me, and I put that pressure on myself to be great at everything I'm doing.
Right.
That's my fucking job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You talked about it this morning with, as far as urgency goes,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, you have to urgency in what you're doing. Your business growth is the same thing.
Yeah.
That pressure that you put on yourself to be great, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes, like you were just saying, it puts some anxiety on you. It puts some pressure on you.
Yeah.
But without, like, this is a cliche thing to say, and I've talked about this with my daughter Layla all the time. You know, she just, you know, we'll talk about being great and this and that and all these things, and why do I have to do this? And I'm like, do you know where diamonds come from? She loves her diamond earrings I bought her. She loves them. Do you know where those come from?
Pressure.
Like, she doesn't know. I say, and I literally, I pulled out a piece of coal, Kingsford charcoal. And I'm like, if this is in the ground under heat and pressure, it turns into, and I literally hold up this, I'm like, it turns into this.
Yeah.
But the only way that that happens is that pressure and heat exist.
Yeah.
If we don't put ourselves under pressure, if your coach doesn't put you under pressure, if I don't put you under a little bit of pressure, you're not going to be great.
Right.
And you're just going to be a regular person.
Yep.
And if that's what you want, that's fine, but it's my job to try.
Right.
You know, and it, that's what I do to myself.
Yep.
You know, but yeah. It does. It creates anxiety and stress and, you know, all of those negative things. But if you're not going to do that and you're just going to be, you know, another person that's just, I'm just rolling through life. Like, what's the point?
Right.
Like, I don't get it. You don't get it.
No.
You know, the guys in Tradewinds don't get it. They're like, no,
Right.
I mean, that's not why we're here.
Right. Yeah, that's it's a hard thing to go do hard things that you don't have to, right?
Yeah.
Like 75 hard.
Discipline's a bitch.
The 75 hard thing. Nobody has to do that, right? Nobody's being forced to do that. But the people that choose to do it, you have to respect those people to some level because they're choosing to do something that nobody has to do. And they're doing it literally just because they want a challenge in their life and they want to overcome something that's really difficult.
Yeah.
Right. But like you don't need to go do 75 hard to do that. Like you can literally do that on a microcosm every single day. You can like literally everything you do. Like my wife and I have started this little thing where whenever we're out in public and we're having an interaction with somebody, we try to find something to compliment them on. And she is kicking my ass in this, but, it's hard. Like you could even be having a bad interaction with a server. Maybe a server's having a bad day and your food's coming out late or they're not being attentive or something. And we still are trying to find something nice to say about them to them. Right.
You have to say it to them. Okay. Yeah.
So like, I like your earrings. I like your shirt. I like your hair.
I was thinking like, man, like she walks away and you're like, man, that girl's ass is tight. Like, I thought, okay. That is a whole nother aspect of what we're talking about. Now,
she will point out a nice set of tatas. I will say that.
Yeah.
But, but no, like you have to say it to them.
I was completely off base. I'm sorry.
And some of that's kind of tough for me. Just be like, if we're having an interaction with a female, you know, it can be a little weird if I'm like, hey, your hair looks nice. You know what I mean? You got a pretty mouth.
You got a pretty mouth, boy.
But like trying to compliment somebody on anything and saying it to them is a good challenge to have.
I would. That is a very. I don't want to like completely get off topic. That's an interesting thing to do. Like for me, it would be harder for me to do it to a guy. I'm just saying, like a server or whoever, like a stranger that you've met, because like women, I don't want to sound like a huge dick here. It's like I can just talk to them fairly easily. It's just natural. I don't know what it is. It just, but like a dude, like, hey, buddy, you're a great bus boy. Like, you know, it's right. just, it's, that's weird.
Well, we don't do it to everybody, but like anybody that we're having an interaction with, we try like the whenever we go buy groceries, you know, the person checking us out. At the checkout stand.
Those are some nice forearms, buddy.
Yeah, like try to find something. Hair, shirt, nails, makeup, anything.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. Everything you said there almost is all women.
Right.
Women, piece of cake. Men?
A little tougher.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Like,
boy, your ass looks tight in them jeans.
You got a nice car.
I just, you know.
I do something similar. It's not exactly that, but it's...
Where are we going here?
Going out of my way. I'm about to talk about
okay.
it. Where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going?
I'm waiting.
What's the time for the show?
Right? Yeah. So it's basically just like, I'll go out of my way to try to like celebrate someone else's win.
Yeah.
Like figure out what it is. Because I mean, people are winning all the time. It's just like, you know, so it's not a zero-sum game. Like someone getting a new car or getting a promotion or doing this, like that doesn't take anything away from you. So it's like celebrate someone else's win.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's a really good one is the universe has a funny way of reciprocating you. And so in other words, if people around you are buying new cars and you feel a bad kind of way about that, then the universe has a funny way of ensuring that you won't get a new car. Right. It's weird on how, like, call it karma, call it whatever you want to call it.
What's your mood ring say?
Right. No, but what I'm saying, like, Like, if you constantly think negatively about other people who are achieving great things, then it pretty much guarantees you're never going to achieve great things. Because the reason you're thinking negative about it is you don't feel they've earned it. You may not know how much work they've put in or anything else. So if they didn't earn it and they got it that way, and you're not going to attribute any of their results to their hard work, then it just goes to show you that you don't even understand the amount of hard work that they put in to earn that, right?
Yeah. What it really does is it takes up your own mind space, and you're not focusing on what you should be focusing on,
right?
To be greater, to make more money, to do whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
It doesn't matter what it is. You're focused on the wrong thing.
Right.
And when you focus on the wrong thing, you're not doing, quote unquote, the right thing.
Right.
Or you're not being successful or whatever. It's because you only have so much bandwidth.
Yeah.
Like, it's just true.
Like, I take this so far. This is going to sound a little weird. I take this so far that even people that are unethical or fraudulent, I still have a level of respect for their hustle. Not necessarily their behavior, right? Like,
that they... You mean the risk they were willing to take to
the
get
risks
there.
They were willing to take,
not
the
necessarily
amount of hard
their
work
hustle.
They were willing to do.
Yeah.
Right. And I say hustle specific, like, you know me, I don't like the terms hustle and grind. And
hustle
so I say,
and grind.
I say hustle in that instance because they are unethical. To me, when I hear the word hustle, I think
you got to let that shit go. Don't
I know.
You?
I know.
You got to let that shit go.
But like, I still have a level of let's say cars.
It's really a respect of their risk factor. They like, let's be honest.
Well, and the amount
because,
of work.
Well, sometimes you're cheating people to get out of work. Like you're taking shortcuts to get out of work. So it's really the risk that you're willing to take to get there. You respect that.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
But even
maybe
like
a flaw in your character, I don't know.
Like, you and I grew up going to car shows, and we'd see classic cars, and we'd see muscle cars and hot rods and all that stuff, right?
About to buy another one.
Well, then
tell my wife.
The scene changed a little bit to where now you get these stanced cars where they have excessive camber, right? Yeah. And do I like those? No, not at all.
No.
However, when I see one that's put together and done well,
yeah, you're like, that's
I would
fucking,
never drive it.
You're like, that's pimp.
But I got to respect the guy's level of work that he put into it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in other words, it's okay for both things to exist at the same time. I don't like the taste, but I like the effort.
Yeah.
And I like the results.
Yeah.
I don't like the finished product.
You like the work that it took to get there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. So like that's where I come around to like con artists and scam artists and everything else that are successful. Like, do I agree with them? Absolutely not. But do I appreciate the amount of hard work and discipline they put in? Sure. Let me give you a prime example. And I may catch a lot of fucking heat for this.
You may catch it right now. So be careful.
But P. Diddy. Okay. His whole thing that he's going under right
now. That's not where I thought you were going with this conversation,
right.
But okay, continue.
No. Like P. Diddy, his whole thing that he's going through right now, it's not right. Right. I don't know if it's illegal unless they had minors there and they could prove it. And if they did, then yeah, it's totally not.
But I'm going to caution you here because like, it does look like there were underage people there that he drugged.
Okay. So, obviously, wrong, right?
Be careful.
But you look at the amount.
This is Mitch's opinion and not Dave's moving forward. I just want to be said. I don't want to get sued.
All views discussed in this film are not of the
You look at the amount of layers of protection he built in for himself and the amount of forethought he had to get pictures of all of these people so that he could extort them for it later and keep them quiet and all of these things.
I wouldn't say keep them quiet. I would say like so that they don't rat out the giant sex parties that they were a part of.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, I guess what I'm saying is like, there is a level of respect that has to be given there that he thought that part through that far. Very similar to Epstein. Again, Epstein.
Dude, you are going down a dark path.
No. Again, like this is a weird thing about villains and con artists. If they would use that same level of passion and energy
to do good,
imagine how much good they could do. Right.
Yeah, but some people are just demons.
And I get it. I get it. And so like, I have zero respect for the bad things they did. And I have zero respect for the overall ethical nature of it. But I do have respect for the ability to take the 30,000 foot view and solve all the complexities to pull it off that long without getting caught.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's why like women like murder documentaries and everything else is because they love finding out how much work people put into not getting caught and then they get caught.
Yeah. I think that most of them are plotting.
Could be.
And I, to be honest,
yeah, like, that very well could
be. My brother's girlfriend, that's all she watches and reads books about it. And I'm like, Joe, you should get some childproof locks on the fucking kitchen drawers. Like
they always find semen under the oven. I don't know why.
You should be fucking worried, dude. I don't know what she's watching.
Yeah.
You gotta stop.
We can't find any DNA anywhere. Did you pull the oven? Yeah, we found a chicken nugget and a splot of semen.
Yeah. Did you see that condom behind the chicken? What?
Murder solved.
What?
I just try to watch Netflix documentaries because it feels like the documentary is one long big trailer for the actual documentary.
Yes.
You learn like one bit of information after 20 minutes, be like, we'll come to find out after this break. And it's just like,
dude.
Yep.
They're masters of keeping you suspend, you know.
Yeah, I hate them. I hate them and I love them. I turn around, I'm like, I just burned 4 hours of my life on nothing. Mm-hmm. What just happened?
Now, I know we've talked about a lot of abstract stuff here and not really like tactical, like integratable stuff for your business. But if you can stand back and you can look at like Jake Paul and Mike Tyson and their ability to do their objective to their best. And keep in mind, the objective wasn't to box each other and knock each other out.
No, the objective was to screw people out of money.
It's not screwing out of money. Like, if you voluntarily paid it, right? But
if you can't get a refund, yeah, it might be.
Well, there's a lot of things you can't get a refund on. But what I'm saying is,
I don't know. There's a lot of Karens getting fucking paybacks right now.
The objective was to sell out AT&T Stadium. The objective was to get the biggest take on Netflix ever. Netflix's objective was to host the biggest boxing match ever, right? The Diesel Brothers guy. My mind just went blank on what his name. No, not Whistling Diesel. I gotta look
the guy with the big black beard.
Yeah,
he's horrible. I don't even know how that fucking show's on TV. I say TV. It's not on TV.
Dave. Heavy D is his name.
I hate that I
Diesel Dave.
Diesel Dave.
So that guy
douche
was at like, so if you watch the fight, Jake Paul rolled into the fight on a stretched, lowered, old school, like GMC pickup truck. There was 4-door long bed slammed to the ground, like an inch and a half off the ground. Had an old school like 90s flame candy apple paint job on it.
Diaz style.
No, nothing above the doors. Chopped, like the top was gone.
Love it.
It had windshield. It was like a convertible pickup truck.
Love it.
And loaded full of people and everything else. Heavy D was driving that, right? So like he got all the celebrities out.
Yeah.
He got all of the
those guys got paid.
Right. Oh, totally.
Those guys got totally paid. Like, he didn't get them out. He paid them, and they came out.
Right. But what I'm saying is, like, that's all. The objective was make a fuck ton of money and provide a lot of entertainment for America, right? The objective wasn't to go beat the snot out of Mike Tyson or for Mike Tyson to beat the snot out of Jake Paul. They literally put it in the rules that Mike Tyson's payout, if he doesn't make it to round three or round four, I can't remember which one it was.
If Jake Paul doesn't make it to round four?
No, if the fight doesn't go to round three or four, then Mike Tyson's payout went to like half. And so like the moment you saw the rules, you knew they're going to slow play this thing.
They changed the rules right before.
I know.
You can't do that.
Well, there's a part
people
of
had already
sides
paid the money, and then they were like, nope, we're not doing that now.
And to anybody who thinks Jake Paul and Mike Tyson are going to fight in a non-exhibition fight, like, come on. You know, it's not like these are both two sanctioned fighters that are fighting for like a title.
It didn't have to be for a title. The problem that I have with it is they sold everyone until the last minute that one of those guys was going to get hurt. And then they were like, oh, well, by the way, no one's getting hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, too late. We already have all your money.
Hey, Jake Paul did step on his toe during the face-off.
Whoopity fucking do.
And he slapped the shit out of him, too.
Yeah, like, that was good. That was the best part of the whole fucking thing was Jake Paul getting slapped in the face.
Right. But then, so now you got Trump coming in for presidency, right? And in his first, like, Trump even
left
admitted.
Turn.
Well, no, I mean, we're just going down the list. But, like, Trump even admitted on the Joe Rogan show, that like his first 4 years, like he didn't really understand how to be president. Right. There's like literally like you can understand how to do presidential things.
Yeah.
But like, how do you accomplish something at lightning speed? You have to learn the governmental process from that side. Like Trump's been on the other side of it.
Yeah.
You have to learn the governmental process on that side before you can be really fast. So now you look at him now and he's getting all the right people in the right places and the right seats on the bus. And I have a feeling we're going to see more impact and more change over the next 4 years than we ever have ever.
Fucking hope.
I hope so.
I hope.
Maybe we'll get to that catapult idea where we can deport people with a catapult.
Do not bring that.
$5 a pull and we can sell churros.
I don't understand. I do love a good churro. My greatest fear is that the American people have given Republicans all of this power. They've literally come out and said, we've had enough bullshit. We're going to give you all this power, and the infighting and the pissing matches and all the crap comes up and they don't unite like Democrats do and get anything done. That's my greatest fear.
I don't see that.
I don't see the Republican Party divided right now. I see the Democratic Party divided and they're fighting over how they lost.
I'm saying this kind of happened last time. Like they had an opportunity to really come together.
Yep.
And then they spent time pissing and moaning and I want this and I want that and I'm talking more about the House and the Senate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want this bill and I want that bill and fuck you. Get shit done.
Did they not I don't think they had unified government in this first term.
Not in Trump's. I'm talking about Bush.
Yeah.
Like they've had these opportunities before and they just can't fucking get it done.
Right.
Get shit done.
I think there's something different about it. Just feels Bush, different.
Bush feels like a Democratic Republican. Like there's enough cloud around Bush that with the whole 9/11 thing and everything else, it's hard to gauge it off of that. Right. But ultimately Trump is, he's literally doing the best he can. He did the best he could before. He just didn't know what his capabilities were because he didn't know the process. He didn't know the workflow.
Yeah.
He didn't know any of that. And now that he does.
Yeah. You know, is it really weird to me? And this is off topic, but on topic. How much Democrats in the past have been like, we don't want government. We want to be free and we want to do this and blah, blah, blah. And Trump comes in there.
It's completely flipped.
Last time. And he's like, he's a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, the government's fucking you. Mm-hmm. He's talking to all Americans.
Yep.
The government's fucking your eyeballs out every day, and you don't do anything about it, and I'm here to expose all of that.
Yep.
And people are still like, no, bad orange
man.
Govern
me harder.
No, it's just, I don't.
Tax me more. Raise my gas prices.
Doesn't make sense to me.
$10 milk, please.
They're so freaking brainwashed.
Yeah.
Into believing what fucking Whoopi Goldberg says on The View, that they don't see what's actually happening.
Yeah.
Like, if he can, you said this, I think, last time, you'd be surprised if he didn't get killed or assassinated.
Yeah.
Like, and I am too. I hope he doesn't.
I hope he doesn't, but I will not be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he never
and you
sees
know who's
January
kill him?
20th.
It'll be a Democrat. Or the CIA or the FBI, because those people want to stay in control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know.
Like, that's what will, like,
I'm really excited about the powerhouse that he's putting together. And really, like, with Musk is in control of government efficiency, because, I mean, let's be honest, our government, Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. Our government is probably the most inefficient business in the U.S.
Oh, it's a shit show, dude.
And so, like, you control that, everybody, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican, everybody wins because everybody's paying less taxes. Everybody's money's going farther. Everybody gets more from the government for what they're looking for and everything else. Right.
Yeah.
So now
we don't have to wrap up the show. Keep going.
No, I know.
Okay.
I thought
he was going to wrap us up.
Grab my phone.
I got a lot of shit to say here.
The tactical part of this, like how this applies to you in your everyday life. If you're currently working for somebody else and you haven't started your business yet, give it your all. There are so many people that once they decide they want to start their own business, they start relaxing. And they're like, I'll give it my all when I start my own business. Bull fucking shit, you will.
No.
If you're not giving it your all at your current job, you won't give it your all when you start your own business.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm gonna brag on myself for a second, and I'm gonna.
I thought you were gonna get through the whole show without doing it.
No, I'm gonna call it out as bragging. I'm gonna call it out as bragging because that's what most people are gonna say, but it's actually leading by example, right? When I decided in mid-January of 2020, when I decided to start our company, I was still working for another company in the area called Climate Control. And I loved the company. The company was great. I loved the owner. I'm still friends with him to this day. And although we haven't seen each other in person since I left the company, we chat online a fair amount.
Yeah, I think they're a stand-up company still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're an amazing company and everything else.
I don't see their ads as much as I used to. Probably because I stopped watching TV.
Well, they're just targeting more to the north. But when I was at that company, I had already decided I'm going to start my company. I was building their plumbing department at the time, right? Yeah. So I've already decided I'm going to start my company. I literally went to work every day there, giving it my all. I never once relaxed there thinking, oh, I'm going to give my all here, right? And that was in January. And I gave it my all the way through July.
Yeah.
I quit there I gave my 3-week notice, like early July. I worked 3 more weeks there. I took a week off. We took a family vacation before I started our company, and we opened our doors August 1st.
You notice how when you gave your three weeks, they didn't fire you immediately?
Right. It's because I gave it my all.
Yeah.
Right. And because they knew that, yeah, he's going to go start his own thing and he's going to do great things for himself, but he's also done great things for us, right? I created a plumbing department for them where there was never a plumbing department before. Got them all set up with a price book, got them all set up with inventory management, got them all set up with everything, right? And that was, they paid me to do it. Like, I'm not acting like I did anything, you know, over the top.
No,
or
that was
else.
Your, that's why you went there.
That's why, yeah, that was my job there, right? Yeah. But they were paying me to do a job, and I did that job to the absolute best of my ability. And in 7 months there, I was only there for 7 months. In 7 months there, 8 months, I got them from zero to almost $1 million a year in revenue in 8 months. It's pretty sweet. So, you know,
pretty sweet.
Always.
That's the next one.
Pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. I like
always. Always do your best and you will always be rewarded for it. Like if I hadn't have done my best there, then when I put in my 3-week notice, they would have been like, get out. Right.
Yeah.
The owner,
that's why I brought it up.
Like the owner literally just commented on a Facebook status of mine or our company's. I can't remember which, like yesterday. And like, we're still great. Like if we live closer, we would probably go out to dinner every now and then.
Yeah. It's an hour and 20 up. Yeah.
It's an hour to get
10,
there.
Yeah.
After I put in my 3-week notice, the owner and his wife took me and my wife out to dinner. They drove all the way here.
Where'd they take you?
Olive Garden. It was, well, they wanted, they knew I was.
Out of all the high end places, it caught me off guard. Olive Garden.
They knew we were busy getting ready to start our own company. They knew we didn't even really have the time to meet with anybody, but they wanted to show their appreciation for what I had done for them.
It's just funny.
Was like, I want to take you and Danielle out for dinner. And he was like, we'll come to you because I know you're short on time. What's a good restaurant near you? And I'm like, I don't know, like Olive Garden. And they were like, cool. Deal.
He didn't want
to
be like
that guy.
He
would have
said yes to no matter what
that
I said.
That guy literally, when you said Olive Garden, was like, this motherfucker.
Right. Well, he's not overly flashy guy either.
No, but he's thinking, I'm driving for an hour, I should at least get a decent steak.
Yeah. Like, again, we could have gone to Roadhouse, I guess.
Well, I see the perspective too, because it looks, but you're like, whenever someone asks you, where do you want to go? Like, you don't want to be the douche and be like, Q39.
No. Yeah. No.
Ruth Chris.
No. Mitch asked me for my birthday. He's like, hey.
Steak.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, where do you want to go? I said, let's go to Marina's 27. We don't ever go out.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a nice place.
It's like, hey.
Well, we got a lot more history.
That's true. But I was like, Janine literally was like, really? Is he paying? That's when, like, we had the whole thing. And I was like, I don't know if he's paying. She's like, maybe you should have asked him. I was like, no, we're still going. Yep. I was like, I don't give a...
And, happy to treat it.
And it was a great time.
It was
time.
Amazing.
It was a great time.
It was good food, too. Like, good it food, good yeah. atmosphere.
It was great.
And everything.
Mm. Wasn't a lot of people in there. Kids got to go. It was great.
Our old high school buddy got to serve us.
And Jeff Champ.
Yep.
He's a realtor now.
Yep, I know.
He messaged me, I guess it's been 2 weeks ago. Hey, I want to put your contact info for realtor. And I was like, happy to give it to you.
Yep.
I gave it all to him. I was like, dude, if I hear of anyone, I'll send him your way.
Yep.
He's a great guy.
He's a good dude.
Yep.
But yet another example of always do your best.
Yeah.
Right? He delivered his best service to us that night.
Yeah.
But like literally everything we do our best at. And
well, it's really what separates the, you talked about this today on the call this morning. Like, it really separates those that are willing to go the extra mile and be great in the society that all you really have to do if you want to get by is just do basically nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't take that much to be great. You literally only have to do the best that you're capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have the capability to be Elon Musk and be there? No, I don't. I don't have that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Have the brain power.
But if I give everything I have at my level, I can still be in the top 10% in this country.
Right.
It doesn't. It literally comes down to effort.
Yeah.
In this country, how much am I willing to sacrifice of my personal time and give to others and give it everything I have?
Yeah.
Like, that's literally all it takes. If you give everything you have, you can be great.
Right.
It doesn't take that much.
Well, and what's crazy is guys will spend more time, effort, and energy on their fantasy football team than they will on their personal development.
Or their wife.
And it's like...
Or their kids.
Like, I'm not saying fantasy football is a bad thing. But what I'm saying is, like, you can't complain about your marriage that's failing or your finances that are struggling when you're more focused on checking your fantasy stats on Sunday, when you could be watching a YouTube video and expanding your knowledge, when you could be spending time with your wife and kids,
yeah,
when you could be doing other things that will improve the quality of your life,
yeah,
right? And so it's kind of funny. Like, I've got season tickets to the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, no matter how the Chiefs do this year, for the first time ever, I'm considering not renewing them next year. And the reason why is because it's an 8-hour ordeal for me to go to a Chiefs game. All the tailgating.
You and
all
I've
the
had
game,
this conversation. It's a commitment.
It is a lot of commitment, yeah, right?
It's a lot of part-time job.
And there's not, I mean, there's money involved for sure, right? But
it's not the money. It's the time.
It's not the money. It's the time. And I found myself on more than one occasion enjoying the away games. Because I get to sit at home on my couch. I get to spend more time with my family because my family doesn't always go to the game. Sometimes it's just a kid or two kids or whatever. My wife never goes to the cold ones.
Let's be honest. Your wife doesn't like going to cold games. Grant doesn't like going to cold games.
Right.
I know he don't.
Right.
You know?
Well, he's kind of a hit or miss thing. It depends on who's playing.
Like, it'd be different if like it was a whole family thing and it's like, oh, this is like our deal.
Right.
Yeah. If everyone was into it as much as you are,
right,
you wouldn't even think twice about it.
Right. Right. And it's not the fact that the family's not into it is why I'm not into it. It's like even still.
As much is what I meant.
It's 8 hours on a Sunday or a Monday or a Thursday.
Yeah.
Or a Friday this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saturday.
This year's fun. Like, I mean, to your point, though, it's like, what else could you be doing in that a lot of time?
Right. And it may not be even anything officially productive. It may literally be sleeping in on a Sunday and enjoying some downtime and peace and quiet with my wife, like watching Sunday morning TV or something in bed.
Yeah.
Like,
I get a lot of flack. This is something that I've noticed lately, and I wouldn't say flack, but, like I try to be at every she has so much soccer. She plays 3 days a week, has a game a week. So it's four this winter. It's going to be two practices and two games. I've never missed a game.
Right.
I think I missed one indoor game like 2 years ago. And people will say, well, you know, can't your wife take her this and that? I'm like, no, I put priority on those times.
Yeah.
I want her to know that I'm there.
Right.
Not to mention that I enjoy it, but you know what I mean? And I don't want anything else to come between that.
Right.
So I get what you're saying about, you know, sometimes there's a lot of value in family time, in, how do I say this? It's not value in family time, but your family really can see through what you're spending your time on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They know it. They know you're not there.
Yeah.
You know, and what's really important?
Right. Right.
Probably not going to the games.
Right. And I'm not saying I'm going to give up my season tickets or anything else. Like, I'm just, I find ways to involve the family more, like, hey, sons, bring a friend type of thing or something like that. Like, we're still, we've got to work through it.
Or split them with somebody.
Right, right. And I've got no reservations with, you know, selling off a game here or there to somebody, and so I can do whatever else. But it's not just Chiefs tickets. It's literally everything, right? It's depending on where we travel and everything else. Danielle and I went to St. Louis for a day the other day, and we thought about...
It's so weird we were there, too.
Yeah, I know. We thought about driving out after work on Friday night and enjoying a night on the town in St. Louis and then doing our thing that we were doing and then driving home Saturday night.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to be away from the kids Friday night.
Yeah.
And so we chose to not drive out Friday, to hang out with the kids and have fun, and then get up at the butt-ass crack of dawn on Saturday and drive all the way to St. Louis.
That's a sacrifice for your wife.
Yeah.
She don't want to get up.
I know. And so we chose to do it all in one day just because it meant a couple more hours with the family. There's, like, today, I had some running around that I had to do today. Danielle's not a morning person, right? I had some running around I had to do today. I go to the gym. I come home, and I'm getting ready for our morning group call with Tradewinds, and yep. Danielle's in the shower. And I'm like,
what's this bitch doing?
You okay?
Like, it's so funny. That's your reaction.
Did you shit yourself?
Are you
dead?
Did
you puke on yourself? Like, why are you in the shower? She's like, well, I'm getting in the shower because I know after all your calls this morning, you're going to run errands and I want to go with you.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, she's sacrificing her thing that she likes to do, which is sleep in a little bit.
Yeah. That's good.
And to come out with me. So, like,
we call that
doing your best.
Yeah,
right.
Do your best.
Always doing your best. And so, like, even with this truck that I bought, so for the listeners of the show, you guys know I drive a Ford Lightning. We're finding the limits of the Lightning. The Lightning is an amazing around town truck. It sucks for over the road travel. It sucks for long hauling. Now that we've got this boat, like, I can't even take the boat to Lake of the Ozarks without having to stop and charge the Lightning three times on the trip. I got to charge it once on the way down. I have to charge it when we're down there, and I have to charge it to get home, like on the way home.
Yeah.
And so
it's a shit show.
Yeah. So I bought a 1-ton truck and we're going that route with it. However, I didn't sell the Lightning. Now, part of the reason I didn't sell the Lightning is because the value of that thing tanked. It 60% value loss in 18 months.
Did we talk about this at the beginning of this show?
I don't think so. But I bought the Lightning for $98,000.
We talked
right
about
now,
this on a call today. Okay, yeah, that's why.
I bought the Lightning for $98,000, and if I trade it in right now, the best I can get is $45,000.
It's I don't.
Like, I don't laugh
to stab you. I just laugh because I know I was right.
Right. Now, I still stand firm that for the purpose of business, the thing is an amazing vehicle. Like, it cost me $9 to drive it 350 miles.
Everything has a purpose. Every tool has a job.
Right.
That's a tool for your business, and it has a purpose.
Right. And the moment you try to go
driving that fucking boat around.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't it.
11 charge stops to Breckenridge and back.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. So we're going to Breckenridge again this year. Won't be taking that.
Nope.
Can you pull it in and leave it hooked up?
Pull it in?
With the new truck to your storage unit and leave it hooked up.
No, my storage unit's not that long.
You can't have the boat in the truck, back it in, and leave them together?
My storage unit's barely longer than the boat.
How cool would that be if they could just leave it hooked up, you back it in?
Well, I'll still drive the thing
shut the door.
Often.
No, I'm saying
it's not like I bought the truck. It's not like I bought the diesel just to pull the boat.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
No, I bought it to pull the trailer. And
no, what I'm saying, it would be great if during the summer, you could literally just be like, nope. We just drive up there, get out of the Lightning, get in that, pull out of the space, and go.
Like the Lightning's got like a 325-mile range in the city, but that drops pretty quick once you start hauling heavy shit.
Yeah.
And so, like, if I've got a, like, there are days, I set this up really well to where there are days where I've got, like, all day of hauling. And so I will, like, I'll go dump our dump trailer. And then I'll go fill it with gravel and dump it in the shop. And then I'll go fill it with gravel again and dump it in the shop. And then I'll go fill it with a pallet of concrete and put that in the shop. Or sometimes I have to run out to Kansas and back a whole bunch to get rubble off jobs or dirt off jobs or driveways that we had to cut up and haul off to replace a sewer or whatever else. And those types of days, you're really stretching the limits of the Lightning with its range.
Yeah.
And so, like, those types of days, I'll drive the diesel. But, like, for all the trips that I have to make out in Kansas where I'm not hauling anything heavy, not hauling a trailer.
Like, when you're running bids and doing around town bullshit and getting stuff, your hair else, done and your nails and stuff, you'll be driving
my
Lightning.
Hair and my nails, my petties, my manies, and
gotta
my petties.
Get those petties, baby.
So, so the Lightning's still going to get plenty of use of that. It's just the heavy hauling and the long trips is where the diesel comes in. But like even there, I'm still like, okay, I can't sell the Lightning without riding because I still owe like $70,000 on it. So I can't sell the Lightning without writing like a $30,000 check.
No, you know what that means? I'm going to keep that bitch.
Right. If I got to write a $30,000 check to sell it, I might as well keep it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use it for the business and make money with it. Right.
Yeah.
And so now always do your best. Now I'm like, okay, I'm going to find a way to like turn this kind of sour position into a positive.
Yeah.
I'll grow the plumbing company enough to where now I have like a sewer sales person slash project manager. And I give him the Lightning and I'll go install a charger in his house and reimburse him for the electricity, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, that's nothing.
I can reimburse him $40 a month and it'll more than cover the electricity that that thing takes to charge.
Yeah.
And so,
convenience fee, $40. Right, done, buddy. Right. Don't worry about it.
And so now, like, I'm going to use this as an, I'll always do your best. I'm going to use this as an opportunity to grow the business and solve my way through this problem by growing and bettering myself and other people's lives and the company and everything else, rather than being like, I just lost $30,000.
No, you just, like you said, do your best, move past it. How do I solve this problem?
How do I solve this problem and win?
This is a problem I have. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't back out of it. How do I turn it into a win?
Right. Right. And they're like we talked about it last week on the show, that one dig job that we were under. It's the shit show dig.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the first time in my career where I really had inclinations to just give up and walk away. I won't charge you anything. I'm going to eat all the expenses that we've incurred on this and just leave. And I knew that wasn't the right thing to do, obviously.
I can't do that.
And well, again, that's
my pride won't let me do it.
That's the always do your best mentality.
Yeah.
We're always going to do our best.
How do we turn this into a win?
Right.
How do I, anytime you're doubting yourself or something goes wrong, if you think, how can I turn this into a win?
Right.
And you really think about it, 99% of the time you can turn it into a win.
Yeah.
It just, it may take more of your time. It may take more of your personal sacrifice.
Yep.
But you can do it. It's just, are you willing to do it?
Yeah. Some
days that's really the question.
A motto I've had for 10 years or more is some days you have to work a little harder for your money, right? Some days you can install that $2,000 water heater in 2 hours. Other days that $2,000 water heater takes you 4 hours.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's a failure. This means you had to work a little harder for your money that day.
Yeah. You didn't make as much per hour. Who gives a shit?
Right. Right.
Like, you didn't lose money.
It's just as simple as just looking up your options and inputs and outputs. Okay. Like what's on the table to do? You know, it's like just looking down the map.
Yeah.
I know not everyone's a fan of Dave Ramsey, but he talks about it with people. They'll call on the show and they just have an income problem. And he's like, okay, you're this much down. You're going to go away tables. You're going to invest. You're going to do this. And just like, it's not a, it's not a math problem. It's like, dude, like you're $200 short.
So
go to
You're $200 short. How do we solve that problem?
Yeah.
We need $200.
I have a buddy of mine.
How do we get that $200?
I have a buddy of mine. He's an insane, like he's multi-millionaire. He posted, this was a year ago. He posted that your wife doesn't have a spending problem. You have an income problem.
Mm.
And it's a blanket statement. And I'm sure some wives have a spending problem, right?
I love your wife posted the other day. Have you ever texted your husband, hey, honey, I accidentally spent $700. Yeah. That's a spending problem.
Right. but what I'm getting at is the idea. So like my wife and I actually had an argument about this a long time ago. And I accused her of having a spending problem. And there was really no winner of the argument. And it's not about who won.
There's never really a winner of those arguments.
But she brought up a very valid point that it's literally her job to pay all the bills in the house and all the bills in the business. And so it's very easy to confuse a spending problem with the person who spends all the money anyway. Right. And so then you start picking it apart and scrutinizing the little things here or there. Oh, see, that's spending. That's why we got no money. Well, no, we got no money because the cable bill's high and the internet bill's high and the car payment's high and that mortgage is high. Like there's a lot that goes into it. That's not the $40 manicure.
Well, just there's also a different way to go.
You know what I mean?
I mean, yes, but if there's only 40 left and we spent that off top, yes. But correct. If it was spent before that, all
if,
that, then
if we
yeah,
have a
$2,000
problem, I granted $2,000 problems are solved with a bunch of tiny pieces, right?
Yeah, most of the time.
But at the same time, like, don't go bagging on your wife because you chose to buy a truck you can't afford and she spent $40 on a pedicure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that try to sandbag their spouse into a spending problem when... Yeah.
It's usually a one-ton diesel. Yeah. Maybe a fucking yeah. Lightning that fucking we don't need.
Here's a funny story. There was a call into the Dave Ramsey show, and this lady called in. She wanted to know, like, you know, am I crazy or not? But what happened was, like, my wife and I, we put everything together. Like, we're a team. But this couple, it's like one of those, like, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. And it came down to where she gave birth and last minute decided to do the epidural and stay. And the husband was upset, saying, like, well, you're the one who couldn't hold out, so I'm not paying for that. And that's like the end result of, like, the whole, like,
you're the one who couldn't pull out.
I was just about to say, like, first off,
yeah,
like, that's not a healthy marriage.
Like, I don't get the whole thing where it's like, well, like,
that's not
they
a healthy
do this
marriage.
Thing. I'm like, it's a team. Like, eventually, it's going to get down to, like, okay, dollars and pennies.
Yeah, that's where you get into counter spending.
Well, yeah.
She spent $40 on a pedicure. Yeah. I'm buying $40 in ammo.
And the problem is, like, oh man, this is a whole nother topic for another day, probably. Like, people want to look at marriages when they get married as it's going to be some kind of business transaction, or that who's bringing in what is going to maintain and stay that way forever.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea that 10 years down the road, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They just automatically assume you're going to make this and I'm going to make this. We're going to keep that separate. We're going to come together. That shit.
We have a
friend.
That
shit doesn't fucking work.
We have a friend. I'm not going to say who he is.
Are you saying we as in you and Danielle or me and you?
We have a friend that they entered into their marriage with both equally paying careers. And her career started to pop heavy, pop big, and pop early. And they actually came to a mutual agreement that they were both going to do whatever it took to support her career. And so essentially, like,
my mind is just running, like, which one is
the shallow, superficial side of things would be like, oh, you're a kept man. Oh, you're just your wife's little bitch. Right. But it's not. They're happily married. They're working together. And he is doing things at home to support her career development at work.
Yeah.
And literally they're on the cusp of, like, within the next 3 to 5 years of her pulling in $1 million a year in income.
God, who the fuck is it?
I'll tell you after the show.
Okay. I was going to say, like, holy
your wife
shit.
Would you be a stay at home dad? And just a dad. Just,
there's only one. Right. There's only one yeah. person I can think of that's sorry, making
and,
that kind
and
of money.
So like it's a very real, like, marriage is a team effort, and it's not about taking pride in who brings in the money and
is
who doesn't.
Is she on OnlyFans?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
We're moving on, Dave. We're moving on.
Sorry. But, sorry, Austin.
But
sorry.
What I'm saying is, like,
intrigue
like
was
they
peaked.
Recognized it's a team effort, and he's going to do his part on the team, right?
Yeah.
Everybody has a role on the team.
Yeah.
The right guard, the left guard, the punter, the center.
Yep.
The wide out, like, look at Travis Kelce this year. What is his role this year? Put up big stats or be a giant fucking distraction?
First four games, giant distraction. The next three games, stats. The last game, distraction.
Right. So, like,
and they lost.
Travis Kelce's in it for whatever it takes to win.
Yeah.
He's not saying, I need a touchdown a game, I need 100 yards. He's saying, we want to win, and I'll do whatever it takes. And if that means I'm running over here, getting double covered, and freeing up somebody else, then that's what that means.
Yeah.
Right?
People, especially in marriage, they forget, in this superficial society that we live in now, they forget that it is a team effort.
Right.
You are together. The two of you are one.
Right.
Whether you're religious or not.
Right.
You are one.
Yeah.
You file taxes together. You are one.
Yeah.
Okay? Your whole job is to fucking win regardless of what happens.
And if that means you're getting up early to make a lunch for your spouse so that they can go off and slay it at work and not have to take time away from their work to go get lunch, then that's what that means.
Yeah.
Right? And notice I said spouse. I didn't say husband or wife, right?
Yeah. Everyone wants to immediately think that.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
My uncle was a stay-at-home dad because my aunt had a phenomenal job.
Well, I mean,
my uncle was the best stay-at-home dad you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
He took those daughters. He's got three daughters. He took them everywhere, did everything. Like those, I don't want to say.
And they're
going to
be winners.
Yeah. I don't want to say those daughters wanted for nothing. Like he still made them earn it and everything else.
Yeah.
But like, they recognize that she has the ability to produce a high level of income and he has the ability to provide the family and growing up and upbringing and memories for their family that they've dreamed of. It's a team effort.
Yeah. We, you know, we kind of forget sometimes that, regardless of hard work or work ethic or college degree or whatever, sometimes you do fall into a situation with your work where you are allowed to make a ton of money. And you can't let walls just say, nope, we're not doing that. We're going to go over here because this is the stigma. This is, you know, what we're going to, this is the way it is. No, you take that happenstance, that whatever, and you fucking run with it.
Yep.
And you do whatever you have to do to make that happen.
Yep.
Like it just, that's just part of life sometimes.
Yeah. You flex, well, at McDonald's, they called it, like you each have your own like positions, but you flex in and flex out. Like for me, I stay at home and I edit a lot of the time. So my wife goes to work. I'm not like you see husbands like, well, it's the wife's job to do dishes, so they'll walk past a full sink.
Right.
No, like I'll edit some, I'll run a load of dishes, but I'm not thinking like, oh, well, that's
yeah.
That's,
there was a time. So when Layla was first born,
mm-hmm.
and I was so I had my own thing. Janine was working full time, but there were three like literally I would set aside 3 days that I could, okay, we could save on childcare. I can stay home and then I can work the weekend if I have to.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I'm setting, you know, it does, I would literally, I was blue, what did she call me? Blue Springs house bitch.
Yeah.
And I didn't care.
Right.
Dude, I got to stay at home with my newborn daughter.
Right.
And be a part of her life and see things that I will never get to see again.
Right. Right.
And like I embraced it and I was the best Blue Springs house bitch that there has ever been.
Yeah.
Like that was just a time where like Austin said, I flexed in.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to do this now. This isn't going to last forever. You know, when she gets older, things are going to change.
Yeah.
Well, like, and I did it and I was fucking happy as shit to do it.
Yeah.
Like I'm never like, we don't ever give marriage advice, but like you see couples and they're just like, maybe they're trying to figure out like, oh, like what's kind of going wrong. And it's like, maybe you see things that are kind of like, but then you hear him talk and you understand why. Like their whole language is like, well, that's her job and that's my job and that's her car and that's my car and that's her job and that's my job. And you're just like, no wonder why you're having so many problems.
Yeah,
well,
it's just people forget it's a team, man.
We're into this little phase in our house right now. Like everybody can agree that when you say that's not my job, it's pretty distasteful.
Mm-hmm.
And
don't make me slap the shit out of you, boy.
And so what we're saying a lot in our house is, I'm not saying that's not my job. I'm saying that's your job. And there's a difference. When I say that's not my job, it insinuates that I'm entitled in some way. But when I say that's your job, I'm holding you accountable to do the obligations that you committed to do.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like our boys have their different chores that they do and everything else. And there's times, like, I mean, they're teenage boys, so you got to be creative and you got to be a little bit humorous and everything else. So like,
you got to tell fart jokes and stuff like that.
Well, like Mason's job's take out the trash,
which is never done when I'm here, by the way.
I know. Well, so like they're teenage boys, right?
I know.
And so like, we'll play trash Tetris where it's like, how tall can we stack it?
And Danielle told me that like 2 weeks ago, I had that thing up and to the left.
Yeah.
Like it was.
And so there's other times where I'll literally stand next to the trash can, take a photo of it and text it to Mason, who's downstairs in the basement.
Hey dog, what are you doing?
And it's not a case of that's not my job. I would absolutely take out the trash. However,
it's your job.
I'm depriving Mason of the growth and development opportunity to hold him accountable to do the job that he's supposed to do.
Yep.
Right. And so, that, like I say, there's a total difference when you say that's not my job versus that's your job. It's slightly different, but it means a whole different level things.
It means something completely different when you have the conversation beforehand.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Really what it means.
And also another pet peeve of mine is like when I see husbands talk to their wives like they're their daughter, it's like she's an is equal to you as ever. Yeah. Like, dude, you respect your...
Dude, watch out. Your wife's probably smarter than you are.
Dude, it's...
Women develop faster than men.
I just...
First off, no way in hell Janine's smarter than me. Second off...
You like my point?
First, I like your point.
I just hate whenever husband's like, well, she should be doing this and doing this. And like, I told her this. And like, dude, you're not her dad.
Guys do that in the presence of other guys. Women do that to their husbands because they think that they're their mother.
Yeah.
Janine does that to me all the time. Yeah. I 3 days a week, I will look at her and I will go, I am not your kid. You are not my mother. I don't fucking think so.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's just their natural instinct.
Yeah.
Like
it's just how they do it.
It's just, it's inbred in them. That's just how they are.
Yeah.
You know,
you're saying it's a guy thing and like guys, that's sort of like a notch in their belt to be like, yes, I'm going to show other people that I'm in control of my life.
When there's four dudes standing around, one of them saying that, it's just, that's,
I'm starting to pick up that a little bit, like, cause we have the meeting on Wednesdays and just like, they're just sort of like cockfest that goes around of like, whose dick is bigger. And like, oh, I'll tell my wife this. Yeah. I'm like, dude,
That's shop talk.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's locker room talk.
To quote
Mr. Trump.
Yeah.
Mr.
President. Grab her by the pussy.
Mr. President Trump. Like, those are just, like, God, I don't want to get on a whole other thing. Those are just things guys say.
Yeah.
Because they're shooting the shit. They're blowing off steam. They're just, you know, that's just part of the testosterone fueled deal. Just like her trying to be my mom.
Right.
Like, you know, she knows.
Dude.
Like, it's something you can't even control sometimes. It's just how guys are. Yep. And especially in...
It's an alpha male thing. Like, who stacks higher on the alpha male?
In blue-collar jobs, and I barely call what Mitch does blue-collar.
Not now.
Like, compared to what we used to do.
Yeah.
Like our old shop. That's what I mean by that. No disrespect. But, like, his guys aren't... Like, dude, back in the day at our shop... If you went in there, you would shit yourself. Mm. Those guys were 15 times, and we were the same way. We're 15 times worse
aggressive,
than the guys that, oh man.
Nasty, filthy.
Oh yeah, dude. Fucking drink beer, be all disgusting, go to the bar at night, get in a fist fight. I mean, that's just,
remember, what was that
just
guy's
fucking
name?
How it
he was
the man.
Dick job helper. He showed up at work. He was the shorter guy, blonde, kind of half bald, worked with Don all the time.
Yeah.
He showed up at work one
Adam.
Day. Adam showed up at work one day with two black eyes and a bloody nose.
Yeah.
And we were like, what the fuck happened to you? He goes, dude, I just got one piece of advice for you. Don't ever punch a cop.
Yeah.
He got like drunk in a bar one night, got mouthy, and a cop went to arrest him and he punched him and he paid the price.
Yeah. Dude, like, that's how blue collar work is. Mm-hmm. And like Mitch's guys are, and I know they listen to the show. Guys, I love you. You're barely blue collar.
They're not rough and tough, like roughnecks, like
the guys we used to work with.
New construction guys,
I
sure.
Still to this day wouldn't fight John Campbell or Adam.
No. I'd never fight John Campbell.
Dude, John Campbell had hands like a fucking gorilla.
So they're kind of like domesticated.
I still talk to him. Yeah, they are domesticated.
John Campbell's like a modern day Paul Bunyan.
Dude, I bought some stuff from him. Met him this has been like 3 weeks ago. Met him at a gas station. You know, we talk, we shoot the shit.
Bought some stuff. Met him at a gas station. I don't want
to
know anymore.
That's all I'm talking about. I go to shake his hand. My hands aren't that small.
Right.
Like, and I am.
Crush you.
I am. Like, it's like a gorilla grabbing a little kid hand.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a burly, could still, like, throw hay all summer. Like, he's just, that's how those guys were, man. Yep. They're just tough as shit.
Yeah.
And that's just to what Austin was kind of saying is like, that's just kind of how guys are.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's on different levels. You're meeting guys at church and there's four guys standing around. It's just a lower level, but it's the same thing. When you're at the shop with his guys, that level's just a little higher. If you were on a freaking dig crew, like roadwork crew, it'd be even higher than that. But it's still the same mindset.
Yeah.
It's the same shit talking. It's the same.
He's talked about it before.
It's just a different level.
Like at church when the guys are wanting to all put chairs away, you're going to find the one cocky guy that thinks he can carry
thing,
a
man.
Taller stack than somebody else. Right?
Same thing.
Like you're saying, it's just like that
same thing.
Human nature sort of like alpha, like guys are, whether they're meaning to or not, like physically or mentally, always trying to like one up.
Let's be honest. That mentality and that mindset regardless, is what builds humanity.
Yeah, I think it's just human nature.
Like, that's what puts fucking roads in. Mm. That's what builds skyscrapers. That's what, like, forges the frontier.
Right.
So, you know, like, this whole, what do they call it? Men being too masculine.
Oh, toxic masculinity.
Like,
it's a term invented by the left to try to water down the production of America.
First off, that doesn't exist. Okay. Yeah. Toxic masculinity is bullshit.
Yep.
Like, it takes masculinity and strength and determination to forge new frontiers.
How long do you think before Brawny has to remove the lumberjack from their rolls of paper towels?
If they do that, I'm going into Brawny.
Yeah.
Dude, come on.
Right.
Like, come the freak on.
Mr. Clean.
Like, if
he's now going to, like, lose his muscles and get smaller.
I don't understand this whole thing of people on the left are like, no, women have to come up and be stronger. Guys have to be down so that we're all this weird alien greenish purple fucking race and no one can breed with each other. And we're all just like, what are you? Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Go focus on doing your best and leave everybody else alone.
Yeah. Let me be what I want. If I want to go out and kill fucking wild animals and fucking stuff their heads and mount them on my wall, let me do me.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of my way, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Me killing a zebra in Africa is not hurting you.
No. I mean, first off, zebras, stop wasting my time. Kill something cool. Like,
kill a horse.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you killed a donkey. Whoopity fucking do. Kill something cool. Was that elephant running across the field 12 miles an hour? Whoopity do.
Yeah.
Like, killing a whitetail in the wild with a bow is way more is impressive than killing an elephant or a giraffe. That's right. Moving at the speed of smell across the Serengeti.
Are you killing it in Kansas City? Because that would be pretty impressive.
If an elephant runs across,
the zoo is going to kick your ass when they find out about that.
You're right.
I did watch a video the other day. It was like a running of the bulls, and they have gates up on the fence or on the edges of the streets.
Yeah.
And so the crowd stands behind like the temp walls.
Yeah.
And these guys opened up the temp wall, and this dude's like, The temp wall's only opened up like 8 inches, but it's enough for the guy to stick like an arm and a leg out and taunt a bull.
Oh, don't do that, dude.
Well, this bull is like looking at him and getting all pissed, and the guy's reaching out and smacking it, and the bull's getting pissed and everything else. That bull's fucking smart. Takes its one horn, sticks it through that 8-inch gap, and lifts the guy 3 feet off the ground by his guts.
Had it coming,
and the
dude.
Guy's like, oh, it hurts. And like, yeah, well, you fucking picked a fight with a bull, you dumbass.
No shit, dog. No shit.
Right.
Oh, my God. Did you see, I know we're about to wrap up the show, but it wasn't on the community Facebook page. It was a friend of Janine's. They live down the road from us. Mountain lion on the game camera.
Oh, yeah.
With a baby.
No, they're close. Yeah.
That's the... Mitch, so if you go down my hill and that road turns right and then that road turns left and then when it takes the really sharp right, those people live right there on the left. They have a big field and then it goes up a bluff.
Yep.
I literally thought that they were bobcats. I was like, those are bobcats. Those are bobcats. There's a bobcat. And then I studied that for a long time. That looks like a mountain lion with a cub.
There's video footage of a mountain lion on Adams Dairy Golf Course.
What happens if I'm in the stand with my bow and one cut? Can I shoot it?
Don't shoot it in the back. Like, you're going to have to, like, I mean, obviously, if you don't tell anybody, it's fine. But, like.
I have to because I'm stuffing that
motherfucker.
You're going to
stuff it, right?
Yeah.
Your taxidermist is going to need a tag. But
Mr. Jones.
Right. So Mason and I actually had that conversation in the stand this last weekend.
Dude, I'm telling you, I don't think I could pass it up.
I told
like,
Mason,
the chances
like
if, are one in a million. I got to shoot the cub too. Cause it's like, it's following it in my mount.
So like I told Mason, like, I'd love to see a cool cat or something like that. And he was like, you mean like a mountain lion? I'm like, well, like a bobcat.
I've seen lots of bobcats.
They're so elusive that it's kind of hard to see them in the wild. They see you long before you see them. I said, now here's the weird thing, like a mountain lion. And Mason's like, we don't have mountain lions. I'm like, oh, we totally do.
Oh, yeah, we do, buddy. We have bears in Southern Missouri.
And I said, chances are, if you see a mountain lion, they've already seen you. And so if you see a mountain lion, get your gun ready. Because chances are it's probably stalking you if you see it.
Or it's got a cub near.
Or, yeah.
And that cub can't move away.
And he was like, can I shoot it? And I'm like, well.
Can I? I love it. His first question, can I shoot that fucking thing or what?
And I said, you can if you feel threatened. Now, a mountain lion 100 yards away, that's not going to work, right?
No, you got to
But you get a mountain lion within 50 yards and it's walking towards you and looking at you, you probably got good reason to say, yeah, that thing was coming at me.
Yeah, I can't get out of the tree.
Right. And right. What are you going to do? Climb down?
And
it closes that 50-yard gap in 4 seconds?
And they can climb the tree.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like...
You pull the bait out of your pocket. You pull the bait out of your pocket. You drop it on the ground. You
throw it away.
And as it gets close, you shoot that fucking thing.
So
I don't think I could. I don't think I could pass it up. We should do some trapping this year at my house. That's what we should do.
I don't want to trap.
A bobcat? Too much time. Dude, a 60-pound male bobcat?
Yeah.
Cook it.
You puss.
So ultimately, the moral of this show is.
I thought you were going to give your best and say yes.
Is do your best no matter what you do. Like literally anything. Fill in your tire with air. Do your best. Like today, I got a flat tire.
Fill it next time, dummy. Right? Don't drive it home. 16 PS. Fill the fuck. You know better.
So don't make me call
your dad.
Tire.
I'll call your dad.
I didn't haphazardly do that. I tried to make sure the plug was in the best position and everything else, and I plugged my tire and filled it up, right?
Felt good,
and
didn't it?
Man, those fucking EV tires on the Lightning, they are tough sons of bitches.
Have you not plugged a tire in a while?
No, I have.
Dude, new tires, like Janine's all-wheel drive tires?
Man, they're tough.
Brutal.
I had to have Danielle come and stand behind me because I'm pushing the plug in and I'm pushing myself across the parking lot.
Yeah, it's tough,
And so I had to have her like act as a backstop. But like...
stand here. Janine just looks at me. What? Stand here.
Like literally everything you do, do your best. Do your best when you're talking to the server at the restaurant. Do your best when you're talking to the people. Do your best when you're talking to the customer. Do your best when you're trying to come up with a new pay plan for your guys. Do your best when you're building your company. Don't just haphazardly start a company and say, I'll figure it out. Like, no, do your best. Now, that's not to say confuse it with paralysis by analysis. Don't overanalyze it. Do your best. Just get it done to the best of your ability. And what's funny is the guys that always do their best have a much higher level of satisfaction in their life than the guys that are just doing the bare minimum to get by. The guys that are doing the bare minimum to get by assume everyone else is, and so they chalk up everyone else's success to luck. But
they're depressed because they're not there.
Right. But the guys that are doing their best 24/7 know that they're getting the best results they can, and anybody else who was getting great results earned it.
Right?
So take that away. Spend the rest of the week doing your best. Spend all next week doing your best and see how it works out for you. You're going to find yourself much happier with life, much happier with your job, much happier as a parent, much happier as a spouse and everything.
You know, we're not going to have another show out before Thanksgiving, are we?
Mm-mm. Yeah, probably not.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. This will be the last show you get before Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
So happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy some turkey.
How about that? Look at that brain working.
There you go. All right. We'll see you next week, guys.